Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome. Today, we're diving into a really powerful story, one that sits right at the intersection of, well, incredible medical breakthroughs and some profound human and ethical questions.
That's right. We're talking about Henrietta Lacks.
Exactly. And her immortal cells, Hela, which you've probably heard of, even if you didn't know the story behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Our main source is Rebecca Skloot's fantastic book, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
A truly groundbreaking piece of work.
It is. And our goal here is to kind of unpack how these huge scientific leaps forward can sometimes be built on, frankly, ethical failures and deep injustice.
And what that history means for us now. It's not just history, is it?
Not at all.
This story really shaped modern bioethics. It throws these massive questions at us about who owns our tissues, what informed consent really means, and, you know, who gets to benefit from all this medical progress. It's a live conversation.
Definitely. It makes you stop and think. So let's start with Henrietta herself. Before the cells, there was the person.
Crucial.
She was born Loretta Pleasant in 1920, grew up in Clover, Virginia, working tobacco fields.
A very different world back then.
Yeah. She married her cousin, Day Lacks, moved north to Turner Station near Baltimore, part of the Great Migration.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts, she was just this vibrant, generous woman, the heart of her family, raising five kids.
But then she got sick.
She did.
Yeah.
And the context of her treatment is, well, it's essential to understanding what happened next.
Absolutely. It's 1951. Johns Hopkins Hospital. Now, it was a top hospital, but deeply segregated.
Right. Jim Crow era.
Exactly. It was one of the few places black patients could get treatment in that area, but often in separate wards. And these wards, let's just say, research often happened there.
Sometimes without much explanation.
Or consent. Henrietta went in because she found a painful lump, a knot, she called it.
And the diagnosis was bad. Aggressive cervical cancer.
Very aggressive.
And during her radiation treatments, her doctor, Dr. Howard Jones, took a tissue sample from her tumor.
Okay.
And crucially, Rebecca Skloot makes it crystal clear. This was done completely without Henrietta's knowledge, without her consent.
No explanation, no permission asked?
None. And then a second sample was given to Dr. George Gay, who was doing research trying to grow human cells in culture.
Which was incredibly difficult at the time. Most cells just died.
Right. And here's the tragic irony. As Henrietta herself was getting sicker, the cancer spreading rapidly.
Her body failing her.
Her cells in Dr. Gay's lab, they were doing the exact opposite.
They were thriving.
Like nothing anyone had ever seen, doubling every 24 hours. They just kept growing.
The first immortal human cell line?
Hela, named using the first two letters of her first and last names.
Well, she herself was dying.
Henrietta passed away in October 1951. She was only 31.
So young.
Buried in an unmarked grave. And her family, they had absolutely no idea that a part of her was, in a sense, living on, already starting a scientific revolution.
It's hard to wrap your head around that disconnect.
It really is. So Henrietta dies, but her cells, they take on this whole other life.
An extraordinary life. I mean, the impact Hela cells had on science, it's just immense. It's hard to overstate.
Where do they make the biggest difference initially?
Well, the polio vaccine is a huge one. Jonas Salk needed a way to grow and test the virus reliably.
And Hela cells were perfect for that.
Exactly. They provided that medium. And Dr. Gay, to his credit in one sense, shared them widely, freely.
So they spread everywhere.
All over the globe. They became fundamental tools in virology, genetics, cancer research, AIDS research, even things like in vitro fertilization, cloning, gene mapping.
Wow.
The list just goes on and on. And of course, a massive multi-billion dollar industry grew up around using and selling these cells and related products.
Billions, built on cells taken without consent.
Precisely.
And meanwhile, the Lacks family.
Completely unaware. Mm-hmm. For decades. While this scientific miracle is unfolding, they're struggling. Poverty, grief over losing Henrietta.
And lack of basic health.
Yes. The irony is painful. They couldn't afford doctors, even as Henrietta's cells were generating fortunes and saving lives worldwide.
Skloot also tells the heartbreaking story of Elsie, Henrietta's eldest daughter.
Oh, Elsie's story is just Devastating. She had epilepsy, developmental disabilities, and ended up in this horrific institution, the Crownsville Hospital for the Negro Insane.
Died there young in terrible conditions.
It's another layer of tragedy upon tragedy for the family.
So how did they finally find out about the cells?
Well, that happened in the 1970s, and unfortunately it involved more ethical missteps.
Oh no.
Scientists were having problems with HeLa cells contaminating other cell lines. They were so robust, they were taking over everything.
Right.
So researchers needed to map the Lax family's DNA to create a kind of genetic fingerprint for HeLa to identify the contamination.
Okay, so they contacted the family.
They did. They asked for blood samples.
Yeah.
But, and this is critical, they didn't clearly explain why.
They didn't tell them about the immortal cells, the industry, the impact?
No. Not in any meaningful way. The family thought they were being tested for the cancer that killed Henrietta.
Oh, that's awful.
It was a profound failure of communication, yes. But also, it felt like a continuation of the exploitation. They were being used again, their body's mind, for information without full understanding.
No mention of the commercial value, no talk of compensation.
None whatsoever. They were left feeling confused, angry, betrayed, used.
So this story really highlights some core values, or maybe the violation of them, doesn't it? Things like bodily autonomy.
Absolutely. Informed consent, or the complete lack thereof in Henrietta's case, is central. Her body, her tissues, were used without her permission. This wasn't uncommon then, especially for Black patients, but her story became a catalyst for changing those practices. It underscores the fundamental value of knowing what's being done to your body and agreeing to it.
And the racial dimension is unavoidable.
Right. The value of justice and equity.
Hmm.
Henrietta was vulnerable because she was a poor Black woman in the Jim Crow South. Her story isn't isolated. It fits into that larger, terrible history of medical exploitation of African Americans, like Tuskegee. It forces us to confront how systemic racism impacts healthcare, a value we still strive for.
Then there's the whole issue of the cells becoming a product.
Yes, the value of the human person versus commodification. Who owns your tissues after they leave your body? HeLa cells generated billions, yet the family saw none of it and couldn't even afford healthcare. It raises deep questions about whether biological materials should be treated as property and who should profit. It challenges the value we place on the person versus the product.
It's a conflict of values right there.
A major one. And then there's the value of truth and transparency. The decades of secrecy, the misleading way the family was approached later. It all points to a failure to value open, honest communication, especially when there's such a power imbalance. Deborah Lax's search was fundamentally a search for truth about her mother.
Okay, let's pinpoint some key moments that really shifted things. What would you say are the pivotal turning points in this whole saga?
Okay, three pivotal moments. I'd say the first, undeniably, is the moment those cells were taken in 1951 without consent. That single act set everything in motion. The science, the industry, the ethical dilemmas, the family's eventual trauma. It's the origin point of the entire story.
The inciting incident, basically.
Exactly. Then I think the second turning point is when researchers contacted the family in the 1970s for DNA, but failed to properly inform them.
Why that one specifically?
Because it wasn't just a historical wrong anymore. It showed the ethical blindness, or at least the lack of consideration, was ongoing. They had a chance to explain, to perhaps start making amends, and instead they compounded the problem, causing fresh pain and mistrust. It revealed the depth of the disconnect.
Right. It showed the problem hadn't gone away.
Not at all.
Mm.
And the third turning point, for me, comes much later, thanks to Rebecca Skloot. It's the moment she arranges for Deborah and her brother, Zakaria, to actually see Henrietta's living cells in Christoph Langauer's lab at Hopkins.
That scene in the book is incredibly powerful.
It is, because after decades of confusion, fear, and anger about these abstract cells, here was something tangible. For Deborah, it was almost spiritual, a connection to her mother. For Zakaria, who had so much anger, it was a moment of quiet understanding. It didn't fix everything, but it was a profound moment of human connection, knowledge, and maybe a step towards a different kind of understanding, a humanizing moment.
A moment of seeing.
Yes, seeing the science, but also seeing the humanity within it.
So, reflecting on all this, what are the big human lessons here? What does Henrietta's story teach us today, you know, that we can relate to?
Well, first, it's a stark reminder about vulnerability and power in healthcare. Henrietta's situation highlights how easily people, especially those from marginalized communities, can be exploited when they're seeking medical help. It pushes you to be your own advocate, to ask questions, to demand clear answers about your treatment and what happens to any biological samples taken.
That idea of being an active participant.
Absolutely. And it teaches us about intergenerational trauma. The secrecy and lack of respect didn't just affect Henrietta. It deeply impacted her children and grandchildren for decades, causing emotional distress, financial hardship, and a crisis of identity. It shows how unresolved historical injustices continue to wound families down the line.
Deborah's search really embodies that, doesn't it?
Completely. Her quest for knowledge about her mother underscores that universal human need to understand our origins, our family stories. Knowing where you come from is fundamental to knowing who you are.
And what about the science side?
It teaches us that science doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's done by people, funded by institutions, and has real-world consequences for other people. Skloot's work in humanizing Hala and giving Henrietta her story back reminds us that ethics aren't an add-on or an obstacle to science. They are fundamental to good science. We have to see the person behind the sample.
So pulling it all together, what are the key takeaways?
Okay, three main things to hold on to. First, an emotional insight. Science is deeply human, and ethical lapses have profound, lasting emotional and spiritual consequences that ripple across generations. The Lacks family's story is a testament to that enduring pain and the need for healing. Second, an intellectual insight. Ethical considerations, particularly informed consent and respect for persons, are not roadblocks to scientific progress, but are absolutely essential for responsible, trustworthy, and ultimately more valuable research. Hala is not just a tool. It represents Henrietta Lacks.
Right, remembering the person.
Always. And finally, a universal insight. We all have a stake in ensuring that medical research respects individual dignity and rights. We must constantly strive to see the human being, their life, their family, their history, behind every cell culture, every data point, every breakthrough. Her story demands a more ethical, transparent, and inclusive future for science.
That leads perfectly to a final thought for you, our listener. As we see incredible advances in genetics, AI, and medicine, massive biobanks being created, what responsibilities do we all share as a society to make absolutely sure that the dignity, the rights, the humanity of individuals are always protected, especially when their own biology might be fueling the future of medicine? Something to really think about. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the complex and vital story of the immortal life of Henrietta Lacks.
It truly is a story that stays with you, raising questions we need to keep asking. And remember, the Henrietta Lacks Foundation continues its important work supporting the family and advocating for ethical science.
Definitely check that out. We encourage you to keep exploring these ideas. Maybe read the book if you haven't, and always look for the human story within the science. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by ICOCH Foundation.